Welcome to the Sermon of the Week podcast from Indianola First in Indianola, Iowa. We pray this message will encourage you and help you grow as you deepen your relationship with Jesus.
Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Good. I'm glad you're all here today. This morning, we are going to continue the series that Pastor Barry has actually been going through the last couple of weeks. It has been titled, Who Do They Say I Am? And Pastor Barry has talked about who Jesus' true followers said he was. He talked about how who the politicians and the religious leaders all said that he was. And this morning, I get the privilege of talk about who the crowd said he was. Now, the crowd is interesting to read about and to watch and to listen to because they really show up twice in this story, each time declaring something different. All right, they carried their own expectations of Jesus, but those expectations didn't line up with the reality of who he truly was. So today we're going to look at both sides of that, okay? You guys ready? Everybody buckled up, ready to go? Okay, good. But before we get to the crowd and who they said Jesus was, I have a question for you. Have you ever had expectations of something, but the reality of it was different than your expectations? Anybody? I think we all have because we live in an Instagram social media world where everything online is set up, edited, recorded. They can do what you want, you know. Let me give you a couple of examples, all right? My wife loves to look through Instagram reels for food ideas. Anybody else do that? Yeah. You look through and you can watch a minute, I don't know, a 90-second video, and you can find these great videos where these people, I don't know, it's just, boom, look, you just do this, that, and the other, and voila, it's all done, and it's perfect and beautiful, and enjoy the dinner. Well, listen, okay? We've tried those, some of them. I'm putting me in there because I help out too, okay? Now, we've tried that, and some of them, yes, they have turned out not exactly like what we watched, but they turned out good, and we put them in our rotation of dinner schedules, okay? Now, they have also turned out to where we have cooked them all day long. They sit in the crock pot. We get home, we try it, and we order pizza. We throw that right away. It does not get on the schedule. We do not eat that again. It's like, how do these people do that? So good. All right, our expectations, reality, different. All right, let me give you another example of a very good friend of mine. Also, I mean, just an amazing boss, amazing guy. I don't know if you know him or not, but it's Pastor Barry. I'm really looking for that $10 back into my check. No, I'm just kidding. It is a story about Pastor Barry, and he is a great guy, but he had great expectations for a gift that he was going to buy for his daughter, Abigail. But the reality of the gift came in a little different than his expectation, all right? At this time, Abby was planning on going to Peru for a summer missions trip, and it was great. And just like any thoughtful, amazing dad would do, he jumped onto Amazon and he started looking for a gift for Abby, something that would say Peru on it, something that he could give to her for Christmas, you know. Now, through searching, he found a nice, beautiful snow globe. I think we have a picture of it similar. That's kind of what it was, all right? He found that picture and it was perfect. It was the perfect gift. Anybody ever find the perfect gift for somebody? You're like, I'm thinking this, and boom, there it is. Here it was, all right? It was what he wanted to get, so he buys it. The motivation behind this gift was to give her something she could open and have a tangible reminder as she was preparing for Peru. It was also to be a keepsake for her to remember the trip after she got home and all that God did and all the great things that he was doing there, and it was a great idea, by the way, all right? There was just, well, multiple problems, but the first problem here, after placing the order and waiting for days to arrive, the snow globe wouldn't make it in time for Christmas. Then it started to snow. There's only one road in and out of the city. Oh, wait, that's a Hallmark movie. All right, the snow stuff didn't happen. There's more than one road. But it wasn't going to make it in time for Christmas. After a couple more days of looking online and thinking and calling and all this stuff, guess what? It arrived at the UPS store in Des Moines. So now all he had to do was, either on Christmas Eve or right around that time, he had to go up to Des Moines. He had to go to the UPS store. He had to stand in line for, I'm assuming a long time, I'm saying 45 minutes. Yeah, he had to stand in line for this gift. He finally gets up to the front, and the lady, the person, gives him a box. And, you know, what snow globe, maybe this big, you know, so you're thinking a decent size box. But no, it's a small box. And he's like, where's the rest of it? That's it. That's all we have. Here is the box that you get. Again, expectation of the snow globe, regular size, good, awesome, you know, gift, good thing. And the reality of it is this. The reality of the snow globe. This is for real, all right? Can we get zoomed in on this? I don't know if we can zoom in far enough. No. The zoom. We don't have a powerful enough lens to get to how big this is, all right? Now, if you close one eye, you get real. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so reality right here. Expectation. It was good, nice thought. Let's all give it up for the thought behind the gift, you know? I'll leave it right there if anybody wants to pray over it. I don't know. Needless to say, the expectation of the gift didn't meet reality of the gift, and it left them a little disappointed, but it did give me and Pastor Jared jokes for years and years, and probably more years to come, all right? But I want you to remember this illustration, because the expectation that the Jews had for Jesus on Palm Sunday didn't match the reality of who Jesus was. And because of that, their attitudes changed, their tones changed, and what they said at the beginning of the week was vastly different than what they said at the end of the week. So let's first look at how the crowd viewed Jesus on the day of the triumphal entry. So if you brought your Bibles, if you didn't, it's okay, we'll have it on the screen. But if you brought your Bibles, open up to Matthew 21, 1 through 11. Now, as you are looking for that, there's a couple things that everybody needs to know today and remember today. The first thing that I want you all to remember is today is also Family Sunday. So we have a lot of the kids up here that are usually in children's church. And honestly, Pastor Amelia, are you in the room? She might be running around. I don't know. Pastor Amelia? Oh, she's up there. There she is. She's with all her kids too. Pastor Amelia does an awesome job with the kids. She is teaching them the Bible. They are learning so much. And actually, what I want to do is I want all the kids to stand up. Pastor Amelia needs to stand up as well. And I really just this morning, I felt like I debated so many times of taking this out of the message. Should I leave it in the message? What should I do? But I really feel it's important that we just show our honor for these kids. So let's all go ahead and give them a round of applause again. Why did I get choked up? I don't know. I do know. It's because these kids, you guys can go ahead and sit down. These kids are the future. They are the future of the church. They're the future of this world. And so we as adults should back them up. We should honor them. We should teach them and get them to church and do all those great things. So thank you, Pastor Amelia, for doing such an awesome job with these kids, teaching them the Bible and all they need to know about God. All right, the second thing, and Pastor Jared's talked about it, and I've talked about it a little bit, is today is Palm Sunday. Today marks the beginning of Holy Week, all right? It's a very important day, marking the week before Jesus would eventually end up at the cross. So it's a very, very important week. So hopefully I've given you enough time to open up to Matthew 21, and we are going to start at verse 1, and we'll read this together, all right? So if you don't have your Bibles, again, it's on the screen. That is totally cool. So as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Let's stop right there real quick, because we need to know that this is a prophecy being fulfilled. All right. Over 400 plus years before Jesus is telling his two disciples all about this, there was a prophet who prophesied this. Zechariah prophesied this over 400 years ago. So Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And here in Matthew 21, we see Jesus is fulfilling that prophecy. I don't know about you guys, but if anybody is telling you that the Bible is boring, I don't think they're actually reading it, because the Bible is true and it is awesome. And God does so many things, and we need to read this thing. There is so much power and so much adventure and just great things. The Bible is not boring. If anything, we're boring. So, I mean, over 400 plus years, something was said by a prophet, and now it's coming to pass. It's not coincidence. It's Jesus, and it's the truth. Let's keep reading. Matthew 21, verse 6, it says, "The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted." Okay, we're going to stop right there for a second. Again, we have the kids up here, so we're going to do a little interactive stuff today, okay? Growing up, my grandma at Christmas time, as we're reading the birth of Jesus and the angels shout glory to God in the highest, she made us as a family always get up and we would all have to say that together. All right, as a family. It was cool. It was fun. It's a memory that we always have right now. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to shout this, what they said on that day, together. So everybody stand up. We'll have it on the screen. It's already up there for you. And we are going to say this together, all right? So ready? 1, 2, 3. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." All right. People online I didn't hear them. So let's do it again, and let's do it a little louder. People online, you join in, all right? Stand up in your living rooms, and let's do this together. Ready? Real loud. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
"Hosanna
to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the high." Good job, everybody. Go ahead and give yourself a round of applause. Tell your neighbor they did a really good job. Tell your dog at home or whoever's sitting with you that they did a great job. Proud of y'all. Let's finish reading this up. Verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, 'Who is this?' The crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" After reading that, we see the crowd had an expectation of Jesus. They expected Jesus to come in, be this strong leader, this champion, this warrior king, this political power who would overthrow Rome. That's how they saw Jesus, and that's what they thought Jesus was doing. They were so expectant of that, that there was a stirring through the whole city. Verse 10 even tells us that the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" They were expecting how Jesus was going to come in and put a beat down on Rome, and they were willing to treat him like royalty. They were willing to throw down their robes, their cloaks, throw down palm branches because of their expectation of who they thought Jesus was. Now, palm branches in the Bible symbolized a few things. It symbolized victory, triumph, royalty, and joy. Most of the time, palm branches were used to celebrate a military victory. Here they're throwing them down because they think Jesus is coming to be this political leader who's going to use military force and just beat down Rome. That wasn't the reality of Jesus. He actually came on a donkey, peaceful, humble, not really saying a whole lot of anything. The reality of who Jesus was brought a different attitude from the crowd just a few days later. Let's read that in Matthew 27, 15 through 26. Again, it'll be on the screen for you to read along with. Verse 15 says, "Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of them, in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. We see that the crowd here again assembled. Now there are a lot of the same people that were in the crowd that was just yelling Hosanna that are now here yelling crucify him. They are angry and they're standing there, and when asked who they should release, the crowd yell back, release Barabbas. Barabbas is a notorious prisoner. He deserved to be in prison. But yet they're saying, release him and take Jesus. The same crowd who was throwing their robes down, palm branches, their cloaks to accept Jesus into the city, all because of their expectations. Now that the reality of who Jesus really is and what his role really is on this earth is coming to light, they're yelling, crucify him, kill him. This crowd had multiple chances to release Jesus. They had multiple times to say, you know what? Okay, we messed up. He is the Savior. Let's not crucify him. They had multiple times. But when those chances were brought before them, they didn't ask to release Jesus. But instead, in verse 22, it says, they all answered, crucify him. Verse 23, Pilate gives them another chance. And the crowd, instead of saying, yeah, let's release him, they actually doubled down. And they yelled, it says, but they shouted all the louder, crucify him. They got louder instead of realizing, oh man, we messed up, we're wrong. The next part and how the crowd responded, I don't know about you, but it like shakes me. It's like, oh boy, shakes me to my core, how they responded. Because Matthew 27, 24 through 26, it says, when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was stirring, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I'm innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. And all of the people answered, the crowd answered, let his blood be on us and our children. That's terrible. That's sad. What a difference a few days can make. This crowd was willing to be on his side and support him when the expectations of him was what they wanted. They were willing to follow him. They were willing to have a party in the streets. They were willing to yell Hosanna in the highest. They were willing to throw down those palm branches and their cloaks and their robes, all when their expectation of Jesus was what they thought it was supposed to be, when they thought Jesus was going to meet every need that we have. But as soon as the reality of who Jesus really was had come out, the crowd switched, and they switched hard. The crowd looked for a powerful king coming in and overthrowing Rome, and yet Jesus came humble, riding on a donkey, and eventually getting crucified. That made this crowd stop yelling Hosanna to the highest and start yelling, crucify him. This all happened because their expectation was different than the reality. Matthew 21, when Jesus rode in on a donkey, a lot of the crowd said, yeah, that's my king. There he is. That's my Jesus. Look at him coming in. But in Matthew 27, that same crowd started to yell, nope, that's not our Jesus. He's a fake. He's a fraud. you know, because reality didn't meet their expectation. This morning, my question to everybody here, I have a few questions this morning, but one of the big questions today is, who do you say Jesus is? And really, my two points this morning are actually questions. They are questions that I want you to ask yourself and think about, especially this week as we are entering into Holy Week, and then we get to Good Friday, and we get to Easter Sunday. I want you to be thinking of these questions throughout the whole week. So my first point this morning, or my first question this morning is, are you following Jesus based on expectations? Write that down so you can think about it later. Are you following Jesus based on expectation? When we are following Jesus based on expectation, it's a very conditional faith. That's what we have, is a very conditional faith, meaning, God, I will follow you as long as it feels safe. God, I will obey you as long as it matches my plans. God, I will trust you as long as I understand the route you have for my life. But as soon as it doesn't make sense, I'm out of here. When we follow Jesus based on expectation, it's very conditional. Let me try to explain this a little better for you. I'll put in a little story, okay? Help you all out, all right? In 2024, my family and I, we just had Christmas at my side of the family, and we were driving home from Illinois. And on this particular night, it was cold, it was rainy, and it was very, very dark. It was kind of that like rain that just like made everything kind of shiny and hard to see. I don't know. It was just a weird rain, a weird night. But we are driving back to Iowa, trying to get here. We were driving home, and we were on Interstate 80, and we were about 2 hours into this trip that usually lasts about 4.5, 5. It depends on how many times we have to stop for snacks. You know, my family's a big snacking family as we drive, okay? But as we're about 2 hours in, we start seeing these detour signs. And they were popping up, and they were starting to tell us that we were going to have to get off of the interstate. There was a really bad accident, and there was no way that we could stay on the interstate. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, about an hour before that, before we started seeing these signs, we stopped in Iowa City, and we all ate at Cane's because we were hungry. Now, listen, okay? Cane's initially wasn't the problem, okay? So I know there's a lot of Cane's people in here, but it wasn't initially the problem. But we stopped, we ate, it was fine, and then we got back on the road. And as we're getting on the road, our Molly, my daughter, piped up and said, you know what, I'm not really feeling good. This was after Cane's, and we're on the road, and she's like, I'm not really feeling good. Now, we as a family know that Molly can get car sick. So the good dad I am, I say, oh, you're probably getting car sick. Quick, fall asleep before we have to get off the interstate. Molly, being the good daughter, is like, yep, boom, she was out. She fell asleep. I was like, whew, we're going to make it. Everything's going to be okay. All right, so we end up having to get off the interstate, and we start following these detour signs that are leading us, you know, they're telling us to turn this way, they're telling us to turn that way, they're leading us all over, and I don't know where we're at, so I'm just following the detour signs. Then, all of a sudden, the detour signs just stop out of nowhere. I'm like, this led us to this point, this stop sign, and we're about ready to go onto some really nasty level B roads, and all of the detour signs are gone. There's nowhere to go. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Well, luckily we have phones, we have GPS, so I turn on GPS, and I start listening to the GPS, and it's leading us down these level B gravel roads this way and that way. I'll tell you, as we're riding, it gets worse and worse. I feel like the potholes are getting bigger and bigger. I feel like the gravel's getting sloppier and sloppier. I feel like I'm holding onto the wheel tighter and tighter, and don't forget, it is still raining. It's still raining, and I don't know, okay? This is wild. I don't know where we're going. I'm just listening to the GPS. As I'm driving, trying to listen to the GPS, guess what? Molly wakes up. And Molly isn't car sick. She is sick sick. She is real sick. And she decides, you know what? I want to let Cane's make a reappearance in the car. This is not good, all right? She does. And I didn't know she ate that much Cane's. But it was a lot. And We didn't have a bag. We didn't have anything. And we're on these level B roads. There's no gas stations. There's nowhere to stop. So it's just, it is what it is. All right. So she is not feeling good. So you have her puking in the back. You have the GPS lady telling me everywhere that I need to go. You have Maddie, who just avoids it all. She goes right under the covers, and she's not moving. And then you have my wife, who I love very much, but in times like that, she likes to go, Jesus, 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 real loud, the highest pitch ever, which does not help me at all, so I have to tell her, stop it. Do that under your breath. I love that you call the name of Jesus, but not that loud and not right now. Don't need that, okay? To which she says, oh, yeah, I will, okay. And then we end up at this stop sign. Now a decision needs to be made by me because this GPS is taking me everywhere but where I need to go. That's what I felt. So I can either listen to the GPS, keep listening to the GPS, or I can see the interstate through the passenger window. I can see it. It's right over there. Maybe I can just find it on my own. I don't need to listen to the GPS. I can do this. That's a real choice. I was like, yep, I'm in. I can do this. Forget it. I left the GPS on, but I wasn't listening to her anymore. I was going the way I wanted to go and the way I thought it should go. And she is telling me what? What do you think the GPS is telling me? Rerouting. It's like, it's just rerouting me everywhere. And guess what? I ended up on the same streets as the GPS told me to. It just took a little longer. Because I was like, I'm going to do this my own because the GPS really isn't making any sense for me to take a left when I need to go right. It's telling me to go all these ways. It's just wild. And so Molly is still puking in the back seat. We eventually did get to back to the interstate. We had to make a couple stops to do a little cleanup. And, you know, a lot longer we end up back at home. Now, the moral of this story is never eat canes. It's the moral of the story. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you should eat Chick-fil-A anyway. It's the Lord's chicken. We can have that. Talk to Pastor Jared about that. Make an appointment. He will talk to you all day about that, all right? I'm just kidding. But here's the real point to that story. I only follow the GPS when it made sense to me. As soon as it wasn't meeting my expectations, as soon as it wasn't leading me where I thought we should go, I shut it off. I ignored it. I stopped listening to it. I started doing my own thing, and I had to get rerouted, and my trip lasted longer than I wanted to. I should have just listened to the GPS when it made sense and even when it didn't make sense. I think a lot of us, we do that with Jesus. We follow him as long as the route he has us on makes sense. As long as I can say, okay, this is the way that it should go. You're doing good, Jesus. We let him have the reins of our lives. As long as Jesus is meeting our expectations, then we will follow him. We will obey him. But as soon as it doesn't make sense, we mute him. We stop listening. We do our own thing. We decide this is the way that my life should be going. So I'm going to do that. When we follow Jesus based on our expectation, we start to treat Jesus like a shopping cart Jesus. We read our Bibles as if we're going through the grocery store and we're grabbing the things that we want, that we like. We search for and we grab only the stuff that benefits us and that makes sense to us. Everything else, we pass right on by. Because I expect Jesus to do only the things that I like. We end up taking scriptures, reading the Bible, and taking scriptures like Philippians 4:19 that says, "Oh, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Well, that's a good one. So I'm going to put that one in my shopping cart because Jesus is going to meet all my needs. That's the one I'm going to take. Or Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." I will definitely put that one in because I won't have to ever want for anything. I'm going to go ahead and grab that and put that right in my shopping cart. When we do that, When we follow Jesus based only on our expectation and only take the things that we think are good, we're just like the crowd who was willing to praise Jesus only when it made sense. We miss the reality of Jesus and his holy word. Not only do we miss the reality of Jesus, but our faith will be easily shaken. Whenever life throws us a curveball, it'll be easily shaken. Our faith will. We will. If you want to be strong, if you want to follow Jesus through the good, the bad, and the ugly of this life, then you need to follow him based on reality. And that is my second point, second question for you to write down tonight. Are you following Jesus based on reality? Because reality is based on who Jesus truly is. He's so much more than a shopping cart Jesus that you can take only the things you want and throw away the stuff that you don't want. Because following Jesus, it takes work on our part. To follow Jesus in truth and not with our feeling is hard sometimes. Because all of those scriptures I read earlier, they're good. They're truth. They're in the Bible. They're right. But what I'm getting at is we can't just take those scriptures and leave out all the rest. Luke 9:23 says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow me.'" Here's some reality for you. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you need to deny yourself. Not just deny yourself when you want to, but deny yourself daily. We as Americans, we really don't like to hear that word deny. Because we live in this Burger King, have it your way, you are the king world. That's the world we live in. So when somebody says we need to deny ourselves, yeah, I think I'll leave that one out. That one does not need to go into my shopping cart. It can stay out. But the reality of following Jesus means we need to deny our flesh things that it really, really wants. And that is not easy to do. Or it's not something that we want to do. But we are not using the shopping cart Jesus any longer. We are taking the reality and the truth of Scripture, and we need to apply it to our lives every single day. Even a hard scripture like Galatians 2:20. "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me." Here's more reality that we need to take in. This life that we are living should not be our own. This life that we are living is supposed to be Jesus Christ who lives in us. When we choose to follow Jesus based on reality, there are great benefits. I think we forget about that. We look at like, oh man, this is really hard. I don't know if I can deny myself daily. But yet God always is there. He's always there to bless us. He's there to give us what we need when we need it according to his plan. When we choose to follow Jesus, there are great benefits. One of the greatest benefits to following Jesus based on reality is your faith will remain strong even in hard times. The reason it will remain strong is because you are following Jesus based on truth, and you're not following him based on feelings. Because we all know feelings come and feelings go. Feelings can lie, feelings are fickle, but the word of God is the only absolute truth out there, period. How can we then remain strong in hard times? Well, because of scriptures like John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Your faith is going to remain strong in hard times because you know that even though hard times will happen, you have Jesus there for you. You have that friend that sticks closer than a brother. You have Jesus right there with you. Now I get it. It's hard sometimes to follow Jesus based on reality. It might mean we have to give up stuff that we really want to hold on to. It means that we cannot and should not pick the stuff we like in the Bible and throw the stuff out that we don't like. It means we have to deny ourselves and submit to him daily. But I'll tell you that following Jesus based on reality for the long game, forever, is the most adventurous, sometimes challenging, sometimes scary, for sure fun, and it's the best decision that you will ever, ever make. It's up to you to choose what crowd you put yourself into. The crowd who saw Jesus from their expectation, or the crowd who saw Jesus out of reality, of who he really was. So the big question for the day is, who do you say he is? In your life, who do you say he is? We know the crowd on Palm Sunday said that Jesus was their king, because that was based on their expectation, not on reality. Because in reality, when reality hit, they changed their tone. So again, who do you say he is? Do you say he is Lord of your life? If so, are you saying that based on your expectation? Are you saying that because you want that shopping cart Jesus? That's why you're saying he's Lord of your life, because right now, everything is going great. Right now, he is doing everything like you want him to do. Is that why you are calling him Lord of your life? Or are you saying that based on reality of who Jesus is and what the Bible says? Because here's the truth. Either he is Lord of your whole life, or he is Lord of none of your life. I'm going to repeat that for the people in the back. No, for everybody. Either he's Lord of your whole life, or he is Lord of none of it. What? Amen. Yes. Telling you, kids are way smarter than us. What areas of your life are you not surrendering to the lordship of Jesus? This is what I want you guys to be thinking about this whole week, this holy week. I want you to be thinking about this. What areas of your life are you not surrendering to the lordship of Jesus? Maybe you have allowed him into some of the rooms, but not all of the rooms. Can I just say today, let him be Lord of everything. Let him be Lord of your finances. Let him be Lord of your kids. Let him be Lord of your marriage. Let him be Lord over your thought life, over everything. We need to allow him to do that. Let's hold nothing back this week as we are thinking about Jesus, thinking about him entering Jerusalem, thinking about him going to the cross, thinking about him rising again. Let's think about these. With this being Holy Week, I want all of us to take time this week and think about those areas that you need to allow Jesus to be Lord over. So here are the three questions that I want you to write down and think about this week. Who do I say Jesus is? Don't say me, you. Who do I say Jesus is? Am I following Jesus based on expectations? Or am I following Jesus based on reality? Let's make sure we're not using the shopping cart Jesus, but let's make sure we are allowing him to be Lord of everything in our lives. Let this be the week that changes your life forever. Let this be the week that, you know what, you make that decision, that final decision that says, you know what, he's going to be Lord of my entire life. And if that means that I have to start denying my things, my life things, then I'm going to do that. Let's pray. Lord, we come, God, and we just thank you for being Lord of our lives, God. We thank you that we can follow you based on reality. We can follow you based on what the Word of God says. And you are so good to us, Lord. You love us. You care for us, Jesus. And I just pray that throughout this week, Lord, we will look back at these questions and we will think about our own lives and our own hearts and where we are at with you, God. And I just ask that you would just move in a mighty way in all of our lives, God, and that we can have a life that follows you and it's based on the reality of who you are. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.